The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Make some noise! It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Making Monsters. We are going on through this offseason now. Free agency, at least that initial rush of free agent signings, have all been made. And the Bears were able to address a lot of the needs that we had concerns for. I know some people are still hoping for a few other things, or I guess we're still hoping when it comes to edge rusher specifically. But we have the draft to address some other things. So we're here to talk about some of the free agents that the Bears were able to get this offseason so far. And obviously, since I've done my podcast also, the Bears have made the trade where they have sent Justin Fields to the Steelers, and it looks like they are heading in the direction of drafting Caleb Williams. So we will obviously address that a little bit too. But let's start off. I'm joined today by Fernando Ramirez. He is a Chargers reporter for the Sporting Tribune. So, Fernando, thanks so much for hopping on with me.
Hey, Taylor, thank you so much for having me. It's awesome to talk a little Bears football.
Yeah, we love it. And obviously, the Chargers are a team that we have talked about a lot the last few years about the standards of how Justin Herbert came in and how his kind of progression through his first few years there and the weapons he had and kind of how they started to build that team. Now, we'll talk a little bit about what they look like now a little later, but there's a few guys that the Bears were able to get from the Chargers. I will start off by saying thank you because some of these guys I'm super excited to see in Bears uniforms, and I know probably Chargers fans not so much, but they are finally looking, Fernando, the Bears looking like they are building an offense that can actually keep up to NFL standards, which hasn't been a thing in a long time here. Just in time, unfortunately, for Justin Fields to leave. But like I said, it does look like a new quarterback's coming to town that people are very high on. But we're here to chat about those free agent signings. Let's start with Gerald Everett. Tight end, obviously. He was with the Chargers the past 2 years. Starting in 23 games and playing in 31, he accumulated 966 yards in those 2 seasons and 7 touchdowns in that time. Let's start with some of his strengths. What did you guys see that you would say stood out the most when he was on the field?
Well, Gerald is very athletic, and he's kind of – sometimes he was kind of like an extra receiver for Justin just because of – how he was able to get open. He did have some injury stuff here and there, but for the most part, he was serviceable. He was an upgrade from Jared Cook, who had been with the team the previous year before he got here in 2022. So he was good. In that Jacksonville Jaguars playoff debacle, he had over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. He had another thing is he doesn't go down easy. So when he makes the catch, he kind of looks to knock guys off and knock guys out and keep on going. And he likes to get the yak, and he really is aggressive. So that was probably his strength, is that he's a good receiving weapon for obviously a tight end. But here he's not going to be the main focal point because Cole Kmet is there. So yeah. I think Everett could really take advantage of kind of being that secondary tight end where – I had said I thought the Chargers should keep him as a secondary tight end and maybe go out and get a Brock Bowers or bring in a legit number one so Gerald could be a number two. But I think as a number two, he's going to be very, very strong for that Bears offense.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I like this signing, and I think that two of the things you just mentioned are things that I've kind of talked about since this signing. Number one, the yards after catch. You mentioned that. It's hard to get him down. It's not easy. He was tied for the team lead there in LA with 5.3 yards after catch, which is obviously something you want your tight end to be able to do. And so very noticeable in that. And then I think also when you just touched upon the not having to be that main tight end, Cole Kmet, we've seen progress year by year. He just got a contract here in Chicago. We were pumped about that. And Shane Waldron, and the new offensive coordinator, is also, when he was with Seattle, I read that he had like the fourth highest of the two tight end set offense that he ran. So he definitely likes that. And that obviously makes sense to why he would bring Everett here and add another tight end that he knows can do certain things that he wants in this offense. One thing, Fernando, that we struggled here in Chicago was the red zone. Bears were 15th, kind of middle of the pack in the league in the red zone, but they also just didn't score a ton either. So even that, the red zone percentage may even be a little skewed there. It went up a tiny bit from the year before, but they had the sixth fewest points passing yards per game. And some of that we know is Justin Fields. Justin Fields obviously being that dual threat quarterback, what ran the ton. He was in the top of the league when it came to rushing yards. So obviously that's going to change a little bit how much he throws the ball and how many yards are there. But a lot of that also is the receivers and the pass catchers that they had there. So do you think that Gerald Everett is someone that would be able to come in and be a reliable guy in the red zone and an option for Caleb or whoever is leading the team here in Chicago?
Well, obviously, like I had mentioned, like him being a number two is going to be perfect because when they get in the red zone, everybody's going to be looking at – I mean, look at all the weapons that they have now, if we're being completely honest. I mean, you have DeAndre Swift. You have Cole Kmet. You have Keenan Allen. God, that sounds so weird saying. And you have DJ Moore. That's a lot of weaponry that they have. And Gerald Everett's going to kind of go a little bit under the radar there. So, yeah, I definitely think he could do stuff like that. I know that when they got in the red zone, Justin would look more towards – obviously Keenan, but then he would look at Gerald as well. So that's kind of, a tight end is literally a quarterback's best friend. So I definitely think Gerald could definitely help with that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Gerald had about 5 to 7 this year because of all the weaponry that is around the Bears. Like you mentioned at the beginning of all this, there's still the draft to go. So the Bears could still get more weapons in the draft. They could still bring in another receiver. I mean, they are really building this offense for, like you mentioned, whoever the quarterback they decide to be. But I definitely think that Gerald is going to be a big piece. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had 5 to 7 touchdowns this season for them.
That's definitely what we like to hear when we're talking about all of those things. When the Bears offense, it's just that we feel like has been just a little behind and everything when it comes to obviously the quarterback position, but there was the year with Alshon and Brandon Marshall. And aside from that, there's never been a receiving duo like what the Bears are about to have in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. So I want to talk about obviously Keenan Allen too. Allen didn't want to restructure his contract there with the Chargers, and that led him to Chicago. Give us just a few sentences on what you think of first when someone says Keenan Allen.
Dang. Honestly, so how would I put this? Okay, I would say professionalism, but it just Keenan's just a great guy all around. And the crazy part about this is that Keenan and I both came into the Chargers organization at the same time. I started off as an intern, and Keenan was drafted, so we kind of built a really cool connection and everything. And now that obviously Keenan is leaving or whatever, like I talked to him yesterday at Caleb Williams pro day, and I was like, bro. And then he's like, I know. And so you're just going to get somebody that is awesome. He's going to speak his mind. Sometimes he'll have wacky post game wardrobes. Like this year, was it this year? Yeah, it was. He dressed up like Jason from
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. Yeah. I was trying to think of it. He dressed up like Jason from Friday the 13th, and he did his interview in a mask. A couple of years ago, he had like a thousands of dollars of a Versace scarf over his head with sunglasses on. Like, you're just a fun loving guy who is obviously just a really good guy and very personable. So, and then he's also fun to like chat with. So, and like reporters there are going to love him because he really brings a different knowledge to the game. Like, you speak to him and you're like, well, crap, he's been with Phillip Rivers, who obviously a lot of people rate as one of the best quarterbacks. And then he's with Justin Herbert, who right now everybody sees as a top three, top five quarterback, depending on who you ask. But he's really been around two of the biggest masterminds kind of in the NFL. And he really has been a part of that. And he knows the game so well. And he's just been so underrated. Maybe I'd go with that, underrated.
Yeah.
His game is very underrated just because he's not fast, doesn't have fast blazing speed. The guy's a workhorse, and I remember those first 2 years when he was hurt, or his rookie year, and I think his second year he was it his second or third? Well, he got hurt 2 years in a row. I think it was his third and fourth year. He got hurt, and I would ask him, like, before the season, Keenan, he's like, I just want to play all 16. Now it's 17. He's like, I just need to play all 16. I need to play all 16. And then he started going, and the league started noticing what Keenan Allen was, but he's really underrated, and he's just a workhorse, so... the Bears organization, I mean, and Ryan Poles yesterday and Matt Eberflus looked really excited to see him yesterday and him there chatting with them. So I think there's a lot of excitement, as there should be, by the Bears organization and fans for what they're going to get in Keenan Allen, who's just a great all-around guy.
Yeah, and we love to hear that. The one thing about Ryan Poles that we've really learned this last couple years is he's a big character guy, a big what type of person is this player, because you've seen the importance to him when it comes to wanting good locker room guys. And there's been many times in Chicago where we haven't had that and things have just kind of imploded from the inside because the guys weren't that type of personality. So guys like Keenan Allen, I think, are exactly what Ryan Poles likes, what the Bears organization needs, especially offensively. Obviously, having that veteran leadership coming in with a team that – the offensive line potentially could be 4 of 5 within their first 3 years. The defensive back's super young. And so there's a lot of young pieces to this offense and this defense, which is it's good to mix in those veteran guys. And you just mentioned, I feel like Keenan probably had his best season last year in year 11 of his career, over 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns there. And obviously a lot of part of that is Justin Herbert. I'm a big fan of Justin Herbert. I love the way he plays. I love the offense that the Chargers did run. There was unfortunately injuries between a lot of different players the last couple seasons that didn't really work out for them in that favor. But when you are talking about Keenan Allen, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Fernando, but I think one of the big things that sticks out to me is just his ability to convert on those big downs, like the plays that you really need to happen. And some teams just don't have that guy, and Keenan Allen feels like he's the guy that, like we said, whoever is quarterbacking the Chicago Bears next season, wink, wink, which we'll talk about in a little bit, he is going to have a guy that, between DJ Moore and him, and not even talking about tight end weapons, has so many chances to actually convert those big plays, whether it's third and longs or, you know, third and shorts or second and longs, which they weren't able to get out of last year at all.
Yeah, so that's exactly what Keenan Allen's been for Justin Herbert. He's been a third down security blanket, and he can move the chains. I urge fans to go watch the last three drives of that game against the Raiders in 2021, where it was winning, you're in. If you go watch those final three drives, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are the guys moving the chains. I would tell any Jets fan and any Bears fan to go watch that tape. Why? On one side, you had Mike Williams, who had gotten hurt in the game. He was basically on one foot, and they were able to make a run at it when they were down by 2 touchdowns. Well, they were down by 16 points. But Justin, Keenan, and Mike willed their way into potentially having the opportunity to win the game. But Keenan has just been a third down security blanket for Justin. He's a guy that gets it moving. This year, he did a lot of different – and you have to remember, Mike got hurt 3 games into the season. Even when Mike got hurt in that Vikings game, Keenan had over 200 yards in that game. Then he had an incredible performance against the Detroit Lions, who I'm sure a lot of Bears fans are excited. He did so well against the Detroit Lions. And he had gotten hurt in that Lions game. He went out, came back in, and still put on a great ending performance. So it's just the way Keenan and has been able to operate and the way he is. I would joke with them, and I wrote a story about this before training camp last year, or during training camp, that Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert could go out there with blindfolds on and they could find each other at any point. So there's no secret that that Keenan – and you know what's funny? And, I mean, some Bears fans may be like, why is he mentioning this? But Jalen Johnson, that's his name, right? The quarterback,
yes.
Jalen Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
He is going to get even better during training camp, learning from Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
He's going to get better in mini camp, learning from Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen likes to sit with, like, he would sit with Casey Hayward and be like, big dog, look, I did this to you, I did that to you. And he would chat with the cornerbacks to try and help them and tell them, hey, you need to do this or you need to do that. So that's just one of the things about Keenan. He's not only helping the offense, he's helping the defense.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I know that there's been a lot made of Brandon Staley's defense and everything, but some of those cornerbacks, and especially Derwin James, who's one of the best safeties in the NFL, though Keenan would put them to work during training camp. So that defense is going to get only better having to cover a guy like Keenan, having to go up against Keenan. So I definitely think that that whoever the quarterback is, they're going to benefit greatly by being with Keenan. And DJ Moore's going to benefit as well.
Yeah.
Keenan's going to be one of those guys that pulls DJ. I saw that DJ said somewhere that it's a race to 1,000 yards between them. But I definitely think that even DJ is gonna learn a lot from Keenan Allen, especially about footwork.
Yeah.
Keenan's thing is his legs, his hips, and his footwork. And it's kind of – and again, I know this because obviously I've been with the guy for – 11 years, but Keenan's a huge Kobe guy.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant's biggest strength were his footwork, and that's what Keenan tries to emulate, the footwork. And when you said he had his best season at 32, Keenan sees himself as Kobe Bryant. Like, he sees himself as Vino.
Yeah.
Like, wine only gets better with age. That's the way Keenan sees himself. And I remember I can't remember who told me this, but a former NFL receiver told me that the way Keenan Allen plays, his style, he'll be able to play at a high level until he's about 35, 36 years old. Similar kind of the way Terrell Owens was able to still put big numbers up at 35, 36 years old. They think that Keenan Allen is also going to be, because of his style, a guy like that can put up that many numbers. And Keenan said, I'm going to do this until the wheels fall off. So, Bears fans should definitely be excited about everything. And he has an arm, too.
Yes.
He threw a couple of touchdown passes.
Oh, yes. Keenan, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Against the Vikings. So Keenan brings a multitude, and he sings. He's good on the piano. So he's just an all-around guy. So, a Bears fan should definitely be excited about all that stuff.
I love it. You mentioned Jalen and Keenan, and they kind of already were going at it on Twitter a little bit because the Pro Bowl game, Jalen Johnson broke up that final pass for the NFC to win, and it was against Keenan Allen. So Keenan was like, it's revenge time during practice. Like, I'm getting you. And I love that. I love that, like, back and forth banter. And like you said, making each other better, because that when you have good players that you're facing on a daily basis in practice, obviously you're going to get better at certain things. And especially Jalen now is on, you know, just got another contract here in Chicago, but he's still pretty young. So he's still in that learning, and he's now kind of shifting over to one of the leaders on our defense and our secondary now. So it'll be fun to get him, even like you said, at a higher level. And it's really interesting. If you want to hear a sad statistic, Fernando, it's that the Bears last year had, well, let's just say the Bears have not had a wide receiver other than DJ Moore score a touchdown since week 2 of this year. Every other touchdown, it was DJ Moore. Or, like, you know, Cole Kmet had one, Mercedes Lewis had one, Khalil Herbert had a passing touchdown, but Chase Claypool had one in week 2, and Darnell Mooney had one in week 1. Every other wide receiver touchdown was by DJ Moore. So this is definitely a much needed thing in Chicago to have somebody else to where DJ Moore doesn't have to be so focused on, and both of these guys can kind of do the thing that they excel at most. I think that one of the things we just talked about, you know, converting those big downs, one of the things that I always see as a major highlight of Keenan is his route running. Everything you read about him is, and you kind of mentioned that, like his feet work and how he can help DJ Moore in that. So that's definitely a positive too. But I do think one concern may be the injuries, just because, you know, you mentioned he wanted to play those 16 games, and he was able to do that for a few seasons in a row where he played all 16. But even the last couple years, he's missed some games. And so is that a concern at all? Is that just is that anything that you guys would worry about if he was staying there?
I don't think the Chargers should be worried about that, just because last year I'm going to be honest. I thought Keenan could have been able to, if they were in a position to make the playoffs, Keenan would have been playing. Like, I think it was just a matter of, hey, let's save him. Why put him through the wear and tear, especially because they didn't play Joey Bosa either. And there was a lot of talk about Joey possibly coming back, but I just think that they said the wear and tear was too much just decided to sit him. So I don't think that should be a concern at all. What happened last year with the hamstring, it was just a freak thing. I don't think there's much to be made about that, because Keenan stayed relatively healthy the last few years.
Okay.
So I think that should be completely fine. Yeah, that's not a concern. Keenan, I'm telling you, if he's one of those guys that really takes care of his body to the nines, especially with him being such a huge LeBron James fan also. He's always told me, he's like, I take care of my body. I invest in it. He's like, my body, and he's like, look at me. My body's a temple. He's like, I need to take care of this thing. So Keenan definitely takes care of his body, and there should be no worry about that.
I'll tell you one thing. It'll probably be within the first couple press conferences that media/fans will already be arguing with him over the LeBron Jordan situation. That's something that gets brought up quite often here in Chicago.
I actually think I know we've talked about it before, but this was like pre-COVID. But we would always talk about it, and we don't like. Both of us kind of were like, well, Kobe's our GOAT, but like MJ is the GOAT. I don't know how he feels about it now. But
we'll take that.
Yeah, but I think he probably still is, because like Keenan and I would vibe, and then Eric Weddle, former Charger, we would vibe off of the like Kobe was our guy, like that was our GOAT, and our GOAT, but like MJ is the GOAT. So yeah, no, that's definitely I think it'd be hard pressed to find Keenan being like, oh yeah, LeBron's the ultimate GOAT. I think everybody still see, or I think he still would see MJ.
MJ's
but,
one.
Yeah,
he got it.
I'd actually be interested to hear what his response would be. I'm terrible for not having asked that before he.
I'm sure
he left, because
somebody will get it out of him. It's always a question, and it's funny because like the younger generation, obviously that's coming out now. A lot of the guys at like the scouting combine, for example, didn't watch Jordan play, so they all were answering LeBron, and it was just like putting every Bears fan was like, nope, can't draft him. He said LeBron over Jordan, and I'm like,
oh,
guys, they were.
Yeah, no, and I've gotten a lot of. Well, yesterday I tweeted out a video of Caleb Williams, and somebody's like, can he play for the Bulls too? And I said, because he was bouncing the ball around and he was doing some like dribbling the football. So I just started laughing at that.
That
I'm like,
hilarious.
That's definitely a Bears fan.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I definitely know this new generation has a lot of weird way of looking at sports in general. Like, I've heard, Patrick Mahomes the GOAT. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, he's won three, but let's chill out a little bit. Like, let's wait to see what his career ultimately ends up being. No, he's already – I'm like, okay. I'm like, there's no talking to you guys. So, we need to – some of these kids need to get on YouTube and check out
highlights.
What Michael Jordan was all about.
Yes.
Don't listen to those people on TikTok that say, oh, Michael was a fraud. No.
No way.
Get out of here with that stuff.
Well, Fernando, let's talk about, because you mentioned you were at Caleb Williams Pro Day. You were at the USC Pro Day yesterday, and we talked a little bit. Keenan Allen also there. You had a conversation with Keenan. A lot of Bears fans thought that was great, seeing, you know, the new wide receiver watching the potential next Bears quarterback. What did you see out of Caleb? How familiar are you anyways with how much did you watch him, and what did you see yesterday of what you think we can expect if they do draft him?
Well, I did pay attention to the way he played in college. Obviously, I'm going to give him credit, but like the one game that just worried me a little bit was that Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Because I felt like that was more on him than it was on, like, there was other games where the team let him, like, let him and the, like, the defense let the offense down, and you could tell that there was a lot of that, and there's, that's kind of a, God, the head coach of USC, Lincoln Riley,
yep.
Thank you so much. Lincoln Riley, that's kind of been his MO since being a head coach, like, hey, the offense is killer.
Mm-hmm.
The defense struggles. So that's why he went to go get Anthony Lynn's, D'Anthony Lynn from USC,
mm-hmm.
or from UCLA, and brought him over as a defensive coordinator because that's Anthony Lynn's son, former Chargers head coach. He's a name to watch pretty soon because I think he's going to start making the rounds, and I think he could be in the NFL pretty soon. There's a lot about him, but going back to that, I thought that the Notre Dame game was a little bit concerning because some of those throws just seemed like he was just like, you just threw it up and it's kind of like, no, that's not what you want. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know they're kind of doing different things, but maybe stay a little bit more relaxed. But there were other games where I really thought that Caleb showed maturity. I know that he had, and that's a good thing. He played with really good receivers at USC, and now he's going to be able to come in potentially to the Bears, and he's going to have great receivers as well. That was the thing about Justin Herbert when he came in. It's like the situation has to be great. Well, hey, we have Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams at your disposal. And he goes, oh, wow, okay, yeah, let's do this. Whereas, like, maybe a Tua Tagovailoa or other guys went into situations where maybe the receivers weren't great.
Mm-hmm.
With Joe Burrow, it took a while because they needed Ja'Marr Chase to get there. Yeah, they had Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, but what really took them over the top was getting Ja'Marr Chase. So I think what the Bears are doing right now, I think the Bears took notice in the way some of these guys come out. I mean, Bryce Young struggled last year. Why? Because the offensive line, obviously, but the weapons around him aren't what he needed them to be. C.J. Stroud, those weapons were actually, they stepped up and they actually did a very good, he did really well too, but I'm saying like the weapons around you, you're only as good as the weapons around you. So what the Bears are doing right now is they're learning from their past mistakes where they've brought in guys, but the weapons certainly just aren't there. And now they're loading that up. So I know it's a long-winded answer, but basically I thought what Caleb did well yesterday was he did connect with his receivers. The way he just like flicks the wrist and mm-hmm. the ball just goes, and finds the, like, there was two of them where I thought, oh no, there's no way the receiver's going to be able to get to it. And Caleb just put it right in his breadbasket. So, that was pretty impressive. And then obviously when he walked in, first thing he does is go see Keenan Allen. So, and then we asked Caleb after and he's like, oh, Keenan and I have known each other actually for years.
Yeah.
So, that's actually pretty good. Because obviously the familiarity is there. I'm interested to see if, and I didn't ask Keenan cause I didn't know that they knew each other, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had worked out together in the past. But
yeah.
Keenan told me, he's like, I'm excited about this new chapter. He's like, I'm excited about going to Chicago. There's history there. I'm excited about this next piece of my football career. Cause it's something new and I haven't done anything new in the last 11 years.
Yeah.
So this is definitely something new, but Caleb checks all the boxes and he didn't, I mean, let's all be honest. He didn't need to do his pro day.
Yeah.
He could have pulled a Marvin Harrison Jr. and said, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm good off of this, but he decided to do it. He said he wanted to help his guys out. Cause obviously Brendan Rice is a big name that we're seeing starting to jump up in,
mm-hmm.
On mock drafts and stuff. Before they had him fifth, fourth, now he's starting to creep up into the third round. So, and yesterday that guy's huge. Like I was looking at him, I'm like, damn, like he's definitely going to make a name for himself in the NFL. But yeah, no, I think Caleb checks all the boxes and looking at what the rest of the quarterbacks are in the draft, I think Caleb has the least amount of question marks, but I'm sure with some of the, and I'm not trying to bring this up. I'm just saying knowing how NFL teams are, I'm sure that in meetings, some of that stuff was brought up because you can't do that in the NFL. Like you do that and that's basically putting a target on your head. So, but yeah, no, Caleb seems like he's really down. He seems like he's really chilled out. And I know, obviously, during the combine, he got an awkward question just to kick things off. So here it was a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
But he seemed pretty he seemed pretty even keel when answering questions. So you don't want a guy that's rattled. So, I would say he's the best quarterback in this draft class for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely say he seemed, which is the pro day, and that's why I don't usually take too much out of pro days, just because you're in your environment with your receivers and your people. But the one thing that I constantly hear people talk about, and you just mentioned it too, just like the release of the ball, and just like I was hearing the word zip a lot, like the zip of the ball coming from Caleb's hands. And there, you definitely, when you cover the NFL and you're around a lot of different quarterbacks, for you it's a little different, I guess, because it's pretty much Philip Rivers and Justin Herbert. So you've just seen two good quarterbacks in Chicago, and then I also work in Jacksonville with the flagship of the Jaguars. We've seen a lot of not good quarterbacks, and the difference when you were watching them, even in practices, of what the ball looks like coming out of their hands and how smooth everything can actually look. When you see a quarterback who is on a different level, it's noticeable. It's noticeable at practices, and I'm sure you guys saw that pretty immediate when it was Justin Herbert, where you guys were like, okay, this kid's going to be pretty good, because he just has that type of release too. It was same thing with here with Trevor. We're still kind of waiting for that full breakout of Trevor, but the way that he can throw the ball and the way that it comes out of his hand sometimes and the speed at which it can, it's wild to see. And so when you see that at a different level, it is something, and that's something I did hear a lot about Caleb. I have a couple more for you, Fernando, before we go.
Well, real quick, can I say, yeah, my bad. I just want to say real quick, well, I think Gabe Davis is actually going to help Trevor Lawrence a lot. I feel like Trevor kind of needs that big bodied receiver. I know he's had a lot of speedsters, but I feel like a big-bodied receiver is going to help him out. That's why people would say that with Justin, it was you needed kind of a speedster to kind of – and Jalen Guyton was that at the beginning, and Tyron Johnson was as well, because you had the two big-bodied receivers, but you needed kind of that speedster. You need to have a little bit of everything when it comes to the offense, and I feel like that's kind of what they're getting with DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Keenan Allen. So, like I said, the Bears are kind of getting the yin and the yang when they the way they're building their offense, and they have speed, but then they also have a guy that can move the chains like Keenan Allen. So I think that's really smart as well. But, you know, it's funny, real quick, just a Justin Herbert piece. So it was during COVID when he got drafted. Yeah. So there was no preseason games. We didn't know what to expect from him. Like, we would go to practice, and 15, 20 minutes in, they would kick us out. Not kick us out, but, like, they would send us out to, like, this tent. They would close the tent so we couldn't watch practice. So we didn't know what was going on. But then when you talk to the players, like, Joey Bosa was like, you guys need to see 10. Like, this guy is, like, he's really good. And then we're like, really? And then Casey Hayward said it. Some other guy started saying that, and I'm like, and then Tyrod Taylor was a starter, but, like, no offense, but, like, Tyrod didn't get as much praise as Justin was, and I'm like, shoot, I wonder if this is legit. Then we watch a practice with Justin. First play, he throws a pick six. Melvin Ingram sniffed out a screen. Yeah, he sniffed out a screen, ran it back to the end zone, and I'm like, I don't know. And then we watched that whole practice, and Justin just did not look very comfortable. And then they throw him in against the Chiefs. I'm like, I wonder what we're going to see. We see him play, and you're like, wow, okay, maybe he has something. Then 2 weeks later on Monday Night Football, he goes into New Orleans, and he takes it to them. They lost and everything because of a missed kick, but you're like, wow, okay, this guy, he's different. And then you see the way he throws the ball. Yeah, you instantly know. But my point in saying that is when the players start saying stuff, that's when you – like Keenan Allen is going to tell you if he thinks whatever quarterback's in there is good or not. Like he's going to keep it real. So that's kind of what I've done in the past. Like, yeah, I trust my eyes, but at the same time, when you speak to the players, they're usually the ones that kind of tip it off. Like, yeah, this kid is the real deal. Or, well, he has some work to do. Yeah. Like, we're still going to see him grow. So that's usually how I conduct the way I kind of report is
the big
I listen to the players and what they think. Yeah, because they're the professionals. I mean, I'm just a stooge with with a phone, a pen, and a notebook. So, they're the ones that know.
No, I get that. And I mentioned just the mess of quarterbacks I've had in both the teams that I cover and cheer for. Yeah. And that it was funny going back to that because it reminded me of Blake Bortles' first year. And his first practice, he threw five picks in his first practice. And we were all like, okay, this is not going to be it. And then obviously they had that 2017 season where it was the run, but then there was a point where I think it was that offseason after where Allen Robinson flipped at one point and just called Blake out and was like, can you just keep the ball in bounds, please? Like, so I can actually catch it. And we were all like, oh, okay, well, this is not good.
Are Jaguars fans still mad about the non-call in New England?
Oh, the Miles Jack was not down. They still wear shirts about it.
But, you know, he wasn't down.
Like, I know.
He really wasn't down. Like, I couldn't believe that. Like, I really wanted to see Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack. Like, I thought that defense was, like, they were so,
oh, it was so
good.
Fun.
And they were so brash.
Yeah.
And they were just out there. So I really wanted to see them in the Super Bowl. I actually thought if Blake Bortles could have limited the I call it the stupidity, he could have like leveled that
right.
down.
Yeah.
I actually thought they could have done something. I was kind of hoping, like, obviously third party non. I have no skin in the game, but I really wanted to see the Jacksonville Jaguars go to the Super Bowl because I actually thought they could have done a number. I think that year it was the Rams,
mm-hmm.
and I actually thought they could have taken it to the Rams that year. So, yeah, I definitely. Yeah. I remember Jalen Ramsey's trash. Josh Allen's trash.
Yeah.
This guy's trash. And I remember I asked Phillip Rivers, I'm like, hey, Jalen Ramsey came out with a list, and only six quarterbacks, he said, were not trash, and you were on that list. He's like, well, shoot, golly, that means a lot coming from a guy like him. And he's like, I'm glad I made a top five in somebody's list, because that year in top quarterbacks, I think the NFL had released, or ESPN, he was like top 11 quarterbacks. So
oh, yeah.
Phillip was like taking a shot at them for making them top 11, but.
Philip could do his fair share of trash talking too. There were moments where
I was like,
man, that guy can run his mouth. Let's not curse,
which is pretty impressive.
I know it is. That's why I was always like, the way he trash talked was even better because he didn't have to use the language, but he would still like get in people's heads a little bit. I can't remember who it was, but it was someone that he. I want to say it was a Jag.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Yes, that's who it was. Yes.
Yep.
Which was a bear lash.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dude, he's like, can you stop? And then he's like, touchdown. So yeah, that was actually, but I think a holding call or an offensive pass interference, something had happened on the previous play that Phillip was hot about.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do that screen pass to Austin Ekeler and he takes it like 90, so that's why he was like barking so loud. But yeah, I definitely Chris Harris Jr., I remember when he came to the Chargers, he's like, man, like, I know Phillip's not here, but I just remember all the trash talking we used to do. And guys always point to Phillip as the biggest trash talking quarterback that they had. I mean, and before him, it was probably Brett Favre.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big trash talker. So, and I mean, you see videos of Andrew Luck and he's like, hey, nice hit, buddy. And you're like, no, don't call me buddy. Like, so yeah, you kind of, it's literally the best of both worlds when you get different quarterbacks and their styles. Like Justin's the same way as Andrew. He just gets up and goes back to the, back to the huddle.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Justin Herbert. I'll be interested to see. I will say, like, if Caleb ends up here, how he is, just because it's hard to, and you kind of mentioned it, like, get the exact read of how he'll be once he gets to this NFL level. And Jalen Johnson was even kind of talking about that, like, you can't come in here and be Hollywood, like, you've got to earn your respect and like earn your way. So we'll see how that goes. But
there's a little, it feels like there's a little bit of there's a little bit of worry there when you kind of talk to people around the NFL that kind of feel like, hey, like, this isn't college, dude. Like, you're coming to an NFL locker room where players can smell BS from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
So he better be right. And honestly, that's one credit that I give Keenan Allen as well. Like I said, he was a big component of helping Justin transition to the NFL. So what's about to happen right now, Keenan's been through it. So what better trade to make for the Bears than get a guy who's been there before, where he's helped a big-time quarterback kind of ascend into his own. So I definitely think – but, yeah, I definitely could see why Jalen is saying that, because that is very true. I mean, some quarterbacks come in there and they think that they're the hot stuff, and you're like, dude, there's 52 other guys that were the hot stuff coming into here and stuff. So you got to chill. You got to know that there's a pecking order here. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even though you were drafted first overall, the NFL stands for not long, so you better chill out.
Yep, exactly. A couple more for you, Fernando, before I let you go.
Yeah.
A final one. This name, more of a special teams guy. Bears, actually, the top four special teams players for them last year were all linebackers, so I'm guessing this is why this move ended up happening. And if I butcher this, I'm sorry, but Amen Agbamiga, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think he had a similar role there with the Chargers, a special teams role. What can you tell us about him, his ability in that special teams role?
I'm very surprised that the Chargers, especially because they brought back Ryan Ficken, but I was kind of surprised that they let him kind of walk, just because he had been kind of a staple in that special teams group. I mean, the Chargers were really bad on special teams since they moved to LA. They couldn't find kickers, they couldn't find punters. The special teams were just a mess. Multiple games they gave up because of it, and they brought Amen in as a undrafted free agent. He slowly started making his way up, and he didn't play much on defense, but special teams is really where he made his mark. He flies down the field. He's very aggressive. He's just a smart, instinctual player, and I really feel like he's going to be a big-time special teams component for the Bears. Like you said, linebacker, I mean, that kind of feels like those are kind of the best special teams players when they're mm-hmm. linebackers. Because I feel like, I mean, and I'm not trying to go against, like cornerbacks and receivers.
Yeah.
But the ones that really put their helmet into it are the linebackers. I mean, Matthew Slater's obviously, and Kasim Osgood, who used to play for the Chargers, he was a gunner. He was one of the best in the NFL, too. But, like, usually it's the linebackers that really that dirty work. So, Amen's exactly what that is. And Bears fans should be excited about all three additions that they made. I mean, they literally hit two guys on offense, one on special teams, and then obviously he can help on defense. But like I said, we really didn't see him on defense all that much. But on special teams, he really flew around.
Yeah, and I would expect a lot of special teams from him. Our linebacker group, obviously barring injury, is pretty solid with T.J. Edwards, Edmonds and T.J. Edwards, and then Jack Sanborn. So they're pretty good there, and they drafted a guy last year, Penei Sewell's brother. I think they're good there. I think he will be more of a special teams guy. But I do want to
spend a lot of money on that position.
yes, they've invested in it, so it's obviously in a historic position in Chicago too. So it's one we're used to kind of seeing succeed. So when we had the couple years where it wasn't, it was very depressing to watch. But I do want to talk just for a second about, because it's something that obviously I've mentioned we're not familiar with here. But the Chargers in general, when being able to manage the offensive weapons that they had, how difficult does it make it for certain guys to stick out when you have that many? You guys had Austin Ekeler and Mike Williams and Everett and obviously Keenan Allen. So all of those guys and being able to spread the ball and I know it's beneficial in ways too, because how do teams plan around that many weapons? But offensively, how does that benefit the receivers and the weapons themselves?
Well, basically, it wasn't hard for the Chargers, especially the 2 years that they were succeeding and they had good years. It was basically Keenan and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
They would lead the way when it came to the passing game, but then Austin Ekeler was involved heavily as well. I mean, there was a year where Austin had over 100 catches. I think it was 2022, I believe. Because this last year he wasn't He had injuries. The offensive scheme that Kellen Moore put wasn't the best to help feature him. It's funny because a lot of Charger fans criticized Joe Lombardi for years, and for the 2 years that he was here, and then they fire him and they get Kellen Moore, and Charger fans were criticizing him even heavier, and they're like, bring back Joe Lombardi.
Yeah.
So I think the way the Chargers were able to manage it was, I mean, you have a gunslinger of a quarterback. The only thing is, obviously, is that maybe the tight end had to take a little bit more of a secondary role, and some of the other receivers. I mean, it was literally Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler with a little bit of sprinkle of other guys like Joshua Kelly or other receiver Jalen Guyton or other receivers Josh Palmer, other guys that would step in. But I really feel like this year was kind of the year where it felt like the Chargers might be able to put it together, and unfortunately they couldn't let Quentin Johnston, their first round draft pick, mm-hmm. kind of grow into his role, because right away Mike gets hurt. Then for some odd reason, Kellen Moore started playing him the same way he played Mike Williams, and they're just different. Like, Quentin's more about using his speed, going down the field. I mean, it's just completely different. So the offense really wasn't allowed to shine this year, but I think Justin Herbert is a good father in the sense of he has a lot of mouths to feed, but he keeps everybody rolling like a fat kid. So he keeps them all fed. So I definitely think that he's a good father in that way. But no, but and honestly, nobody's ever going to complain about having too many weapons. I mean, yeah. If you're in an offense and you're succeeding and you're winning games, nobody's going to complain about not touching the football. It's when you're losing games that wide receivers or running backs or guys will complain about not getting touches. You have to be a psycho to complain about not getting touches when you're winning games.
Like, yeah.
It's all about wins. It's all about the team. And yeah, some guys want individual stats, but at the same time, the ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl, and only one team ends away doing that. I mean, look at look at the way the Chiefs have kind of done it. Like, in a sense, and I know this is going to sound crazy to some people, but Mahomes kind of took a back seat for most of this season. It was a lot about Isaiah Pacheco and running the football and then building around their offensive line. Like, I think they really took it personal when they got creamed in that Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had one of the best defensive lines, and they had backups that were as good as the starters. So they really took it to the Chiefs that year, and I feel like the Chiefs went out and they got Tooney. They drafted Creed Humphrey. They went out and made their offensive line a priority, and that's why they were able to control a lot of the games this year. They controlled them with Pacheco, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, with mm-hmm. Jared McKinnon, and they just needed Patrick Mahomes to make key certain throws and make plays. And that's the way you win football games. And I didn't hear any complaints from Rashee Rice, from Travis Kelce. You didn't. Oh, I mean, well, you heard it from Kadarius Toney, but that guy is something else. Yeah, I actually interviewed him at the Super Bowl, and I asked him, like, oh, do you feel like you can make an impact? He's like, what you think? Didn't I make an impact last year? And I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, oh, yeah, you really did. Like, yeah. I'm like, all right. I was like, I'm not the coach. I'm not the one doing that. But I definitely think that, like I said, the Bears are doing what they need to do. And I feel like if Caleb is, or whoever the quarterback, if they are who the Bears are hoping they are when they draft him, you're doing everything you're already doing. Yeah. You're building the team around them. You're building up that offensive line. You're giving them the proper amount of weapons. Now it's going to kind of be on your coaching, on your quarterback's coach, and on your offensive coordinator, on Shane Waldron, mm-hmm. To be able to get that quarterback to do what he needs to do. But it's on the quarterback. It's on the offense. Like, Ryan Poles has done what he's needed to do to put weapons around that guy. It's going to be the job of the quarterback coach, and the offensive coordinator to get that kind of going.
Yeah.
Because we all know that the Tyson Bagent came in, and he was a serviceable guy for them last year. And that was with DJ Moore and some of the other weaponry. Imagine mm-hmm. now adding Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift,
yeah.
Gerald Everett. I mean, literally any quarterback should be able to come in here and have a decent offense or above average offense with these kinds of weapons. So it's just going to be all about scheming and making sure that the quarterback has the right mentality. in coming in and saying, hey, I hate the Lions, I hate the Packers, and I hate the Vikings. We need to come, and I love deep dish pizza, and I love
Michael Jordan,
Mike Ditka, and Michael Jordan. Yeah, exactly. So they're just gonna have to come in there and really know, hey, I'm fortunate. Look at everything that they've built around me.
Yeah.
Now it's about putting the work in there and getting to work. So yeah, I think if, again, like I said with the Justin Herbert thing, if you're a good father, you should be able to feed all the mouths that you have and you
love
should
it.
Be able to win games. So I definitely think that quarterback, whoever they get, is going to need to know, hey, I need to hit the ground running because there are jobs on the line. Like,
yeah.
We all know. And that's why when Keenan got traded to the Bears, I'm like, damn, like, and I'm not trying to compare or anything, but he's kind of in a Brandon Staley 2.0 where Eberflus needs to show results, or if not,
oh, yeah.
They could be looking at a whole new coaching staff next season. So, there's unfortunately, you don't want to put this much pressure on a new kid coming in, but there's a lot of pressure on him because the Bears haven't won in a couple years.
Yeah.
There's jobs on the line. So, and honestly, let's just be honest, when you draft a quarterback that high, they can either win you jobs or they can lose you jobs.
Oh,
so
definitely.
This is gonna be interesting to say the least.
Yep, it definitely is, Fernando. Final one for you, because what are you guys going to do? You lost like pretty much your main weapons. New coach coming over there, which everyone was really high. A lot of Chicago fans wanted him. But what's the deal? Where's the path now? Are fans upset because it feels like they almost just tore down the entire offense but kept the defensive pieces rather than helping Justin Herbert?
See, I wrote about this, and I also have a podcast with one of my co-hosts writes for Sports Illustrated nationally, and we were talking about this, and I told him, I'm like, look, I'm like, Charger fans, you were mad about everything that had happened the last few years that you're like, oh, I don't know, Tom Telesco wouldn't have made this move. Like, he would have kept Keenan Allen. Isn't that what you wanted to avoid? Like, you were done with the Tom Telesco era. You were done with the Brandon Staley's, with the Anthony Lynn's, with the Mike McCoy's. You were done with the Spanos's being cheap.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They went out and they got Jim Harbaugh. This is what you're going to get when you get a Jim Harbaugh. You either fall in line or you're moving on. And unfortunately, Keenan Allen just didn't he decided not to take the pay cut, which – go get your money, dude. I mean, you're only, like, again, the NFL stands for not for long. Go get your money. Now, the impressive part is that he was able to get Joey Bosa to take a pay cut. A lot of people didn't think he would take it, but Joey took it. Khalil Mack took it. Now the Chargers' defense doesn't look as bad as it potentially could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought Keenan Allen was going to stay and that it was going to be Joey, Khalil, Khalil might have stayed, but then Mike Williams were all going to be gone. But instead, the pass rusher stayed, the receivers left. But I think what the Chargers are going to do is build their offensive lineup, protect Justin. Justin Herbert's taken unnecessary shots the last few years.
Yeah.
And I know Tom Telesco and Brandon Staley had complained because they thought that Justin Herbert sometimes gets treated unfairly by officiating. Like, he takes late hits and people and the referees don't call it. So I'm sure what Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh's vision for this offense is, let's build through the draft. Let's pull a Green Bay Packers. And I know Bears fans don't want to hear that, but I think they're going to try and pull a Green Bay Packers and go get young pass catchers, young receivers, and have them grow with Justin Herbert. Make Justin Herbert now the Mr. Miyagi and make the other guys be the Daniel sons and them learn with a quarterback like this. So I actually think it's smart. I mean, I wouldn't doubt. And yesterday I tweeted out a video. I asked Brendan Rice. I'm like, hey, would you like to be drafted by the Chargers? And, oh, I didn't say it like that. That made me sound like a idiotic journalist. But I said it in a different way. But he said, look, I was recruited heavily by Jim Harbaugh coming out of college or coming out of high school. I just had a meeting with him the other day, and I love Jim Harbaugh. Like, I would love to get drafted by him. So, I mean, what if the Cardinals end up trading out with Minnesota and they have the fifth pick and Marvin Harrison Jr. sitting there? And then a couple of rounds later, you get a Brendan Rice, or you go draft Roman Wilson from Michigan. I mean, right there, your receiving core is basically fixed.
Yeah.
It's just, right now it looks bad. But if people need to kind of relax a little bit, because then Tyler Boyd's name has also been linked to the Chargers as well. But I just think Charger fans need to relax a little bit and kind of see what this is all going to be about. And I've said it, I'm like, Charger fans, you guys need to be you guys need to be cognitive that this is going to take 2 years. Like, maybe this year they kind of pull a Rams and they exceed expectations and maybe make the playoffs and maybe win a game, but it's going to take 2 years to get this truly fixed. Because unfortunately, and I know the rest of the league has been like, oh, Tom Telesco's been a great GM. Look at the weapons that the Chargers have had. Yes, but the Chargers have been top-heavy for years. They have great talent, but they don't have great depth. The Rams now have great depth, and I use the Rams because we also have on our YouTube channel, we also have a Rams show, and I don't do that. It's my my buddy and somebody else that does it with them, but the Rams have built their team up in the perfect way. They've built depth. You have to hit on your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, yeah, rounder, seventh, yeah, undrafted free agents, and that's how you mold your team. Unfortunately, if you go back, Taylor, and you look through Tom Telesco's drafts, go look through the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guys. There's not that much talent there. So, and I feel like that's what Jim Harbaugh is going to do here. I think Jim is really going to try and hit on every single one. And I think Jim's going to take a Pete Carroll approach. When Pete Carroll first came from USC over to the Seahawks, he was nailing draft picks because he was familiar with the college game. He had recruited for the next 4 years. Remember, the Seahawks drafted really well, except for they had some hiccups here and there.
Yeah.
But they drafted extremely well because Pete Carroll knew all these guys. He was in their living rooms. He had recruited them to SC, and now he could take advantage of it, and he could draft well going into the NFL. Fortunately, Urban Meyer couldn't do that when he was in Jacksonville. He didn't even know who Aaron Donald was, reportedly, but
yeah,
allegedly. But but that's going to be the thing. Charger fans need to kind of calm down and wait to watch the chips fall where they may. Again, they need help on defense. They need help on offense. Special teams is kind of okay. I mean, they're still going to add pieces.
Yeah.
But I've preached to Charger fans, you guys need to be patient. Jim Harbaugh knows what he is doing. This guy, he's different. So, yeah. And of course, Jim has full control of what they're doing. So I think fan Joe Ortiz as well, he was there yesterday at the USC Pro Day. So I think Charger fans just need to
breathe for a second.
I know
it's hard.
People don't like Aaron Rodgers in Chicago, but R-E-L-A-X.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
Like, let it play out.
Yes. And that's what the draft, I mean, I love draft day anyways. It's always, to me, something exciting. And the Bears obviously having two picks in the top 10 is fun. There's so much in those top 10, though, that are, it's very interesting. A lot of the mock drafts I see have the Chargers trading back. Almost every mock draft I see have the Chargers trading back to get Fuaga and then maybe still being able to, like, late first, early second, grab one of those wide receivers that people like. So it'll be really interesting to see which path they end up going, or if they, you know, like Marvin enough or one of those other receivers. We hope you do not take Adunze. A lot of people are just really hoping Adunze falls here to 9. I'm kind of starting to lean more towards edge with Verse or Dallas Turner. So we'll see. It's going to be a fun draft.
You know, real quick, my bad. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No,
I was actually there at UCLA's pro day and Latu,
yeah,
the pass rusher. I actually think he would fit the Bears to a T. Like, this guy, he's something else. That's a name to keep out, keep on the look for. I know everybody likes Dallas Turner,
mm-hmm,
but Latu, like, that guy, his story is incredible. The perseverance that he's been through, but I actually think he may be the real deal. So I actually think Bears fans should be on the lookout for him, because I actually think he may be a really good addition to the Bears, especially with. I think they have Montez Sweat, correct?
Yeah.
They have Sweat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think with him and with Latu, I think they could be a formidable defensive line. So that's a name I would keep out there. I actually think Latu is might be on the same hemisphere as Dallas Turner. So
I
would definitely keep a name out for Latu as well.
Yeah, that's definitely – I have – right now I'm working on the free agency. As soon as I'm done with free agency, I dive heavily into the Bears. It'll be beyond that first pick. It'll be, you know, what the Bears may do with that 9th pick. The problem is the Bears have the 9th pick and then no second round, so they don't pick again, I think, until like 75. So there's a big gap in between that. So they definitely need to make sure they hit on that 9, or some people do have them trading back to maybe like 10, 11, and then gaining some picks in there. But we'll see. Anyways, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. This was good stuff, getting to know them, Nude Bears a little bit more, and then also just kind of the Chargers mindset, because you guys have watched a new quarterback come in and develop before your eyes, and that's what we're hoping we have next. So I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a good rest of your week and weekend.
No, I appreciate you having me on, and if you ever need me again, I'm always free. So, again, thank you so much for asking me to hop on.
Yep, and have a good one. I'll talk to you later. All right, thanks so much again. That was Fernando Ramirez. He is the Chargers reporter for the Sporting Tribune. Some good stuff there. We've got to be excited about the direction that the offense is heading, and now we're just kind of saying, okay, what final little pieces and gaps do we need to fill this offseason to make sure that the Bears can actually have a winning record this season and put the best possibility around most likely Caleb Williams. So it'll be fun this next month. The draft is a little over a month away. So we're getting there. We're counting down. Clock is ticking. Bears are on the clock. So fun times right now. And again, I appreciate everyone. I'm going to be doing the next one. I believe I am going to, I'm trying to remember. Byard. I believe I'm going to be talking about him. He's obviously who has replaced our guy, Eddie. Eddie is gone. It was time, we know, but we'll talk a little bit about him. I think he's going to be my next free agent episode, so keep a lookout for that. A ton of other good content coming out on Windy City Gridiron right now, so just stay tuned. And again, appreciate it. As always, I'm Taylor Dahl, and this is Making Monsters.